Is anyone on the line?
Yes, Ramona, it's John. Hello.
Hi, John. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you. Yourself?
I'm doing well. I keep telling myself I'm excited and not anxious.
Is it just the two of us tonight?
Well, you know, that would be great, but I'm hoping some more people will join us.
Oh, the last minute people,
hi,
they'll
Ramona,
show
this
up.
This is Betty.
Hi, Betty. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. It's so good to have you doing our call tonight.
Thank you. I'm really excited. I was just telling John, whenever I feel anxious, I remind myself that this call isn't about me. It's about serving everybody else, so I shouldn't be afraid or anxious. So I'm really excited.
Well, we're excited to hear from you.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm hoping at least one of our daughters will join us a little later, and she will add to the call.
Well, very good.
Well, it is 7 o'clock according to my clock, so I think we will just jump right in. I want to welcome everyone who's with us. Remind you that hopefully we won't have to put this on mute. So if you hear any noise, you can put yourself on mute with *6 and come off mute, and hopefully we'll have lots of participation tonight. Our topic is joy in the journey. And first of all, I'd like to express Dave's gratitude for all of you coming and listening to me. I was grateful for the opportunity to do a little growing myself, and really excited to be with all of you. Excuse me. Dave has been in Houston, and he's on a plane on his way home. He met with Lee Steinberg and Earl Campbell, who are Lee is a football agent. If any of you are familiar with the movie Jerry Maguire, it was based on Lee Steinberg's life, and he's getting back into becoming an agent for football players again. And Earl Campbell was there. They were meeting with some investors, and so Dave had reported that he's had a wonderful time. It's just been a whole bunch of miracles. I'm sure he'll share more of that in the future. So, John, are you familiar with Earl Campbell?
It's a long time ago. Wasn't he some big football star himself, Earl Campbell?
He played for the Houston Oilers.
Yes, he did. This was a long time ago. It dates us.
It was quite a while.
Yeah, but he was a great. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very renowned if you're in the football realm.
So what is he doing? What is he doing these days?
You know, I don't know that much about what he's up to other than he was interested in this meeting regarding Lee Steinberg. So he wanted to be there to participate in this company that's being launched and hopefully will be connected with our company also in a certain level. So I think it was last week, Earl Campbell gave an award to Lee Steinberg in Phoenix called the I'm not even sure what the award was, but it was honoring Lee Steinberg for his accomplishments and partly for his comeback after having a really tough patch for a while.
Right.
So that's how he got involved.
Right.
But he's doing really well and being supported by friends and fans, and it's great to have him consider us a friend.
Right.
Well, we are going to jump into this topic, and I know this isn't the first time for everyone talking about joy in the journey. So as I reviewed some of the material, I wanted to first of all go over the assessment characteristics. I think they're just so powerful and will kind of focus our discussion. If you happen to have your studio up, that's where I'm looking at the affirmations. And the assessment topics. So The first one is grateful, and of course that's an element just to have a good life, and especially to find joy is to be grateful in all aspects of your life. So grateful says, I am grateful, I am present in the here and now, and find personal satisfaction, fulfillment, and joy in all that I do. And then next is persistent. I am persistent, I'm focused and driven. I understand the relationship between the work I do, the contributions I make, and the recognition and remuneration I receive. Next one is effective. I'm effective, I plan my work and work my plan. I realistically allocate my time and energy between multiple tasks to maximize efficiency and effectiveness. Next is realistic. I'm realistic. I effectively manage any gap between what I have and what I want. I stay focused in the now and shun escape and avoid fantasies. Diligent. I'm diligent. I function well in stressful situations without having the need to complain, place blame, or make excuses. And vigilant. I'm vigilant. I realistically assess the importance and impact of how I spend my time. I invest my energy in doing things that are important and that add value to my life. As I read through these six characteristics, was there anything in particular that seemed to be repeating itself in these characteristics? How about you, Betty? Did you notice anything?
I'm looking there. Persistent and diligent and vigilant are all pretty much on the same vein.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be realistic because I've been listening to Dave many times talking about living in the fantasy world. And I can recognize that now. I didn't used to realize that's what that was. You know, I thought it was just dreaming, but there is definitely a difference in the visualization there's, you know, living in the fantasy land doesn't get us anywhere.
Yeah, as Dave explains that, where you go sometime in the future and then you start living from that point forward instead of going back to how to get to that place.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yes. And what in the book he talks about, when I am, I do, and when I do, I have. And I love that. And that's what this is talking about, the I am.
That's beautiful. I'm going to read just a couple of words from each phrase, and I think that will kind of give you a clue of what I was alluding to when I asked what they all have in common. For instance, under grateful, it talks about I'm present in the here and now. In persistent, it's saying the work I do, the contributions I make. Effective, I realistically allocate my time and energy. And then under realistic, it's saying, again, focused in the now and diligent, function well, having the need to, not needing to complain. That one's not as obvious. And then on vigilant, I spend my time. So, John, can you get the point I'm making here?
Well, I'm at a disadvantage here. I'm driving up from San Diego after 4 days there. I don't have an assessment in front of me. It's been an enjoyable time, though. So I don't have an assessment in front of me, but obviously time management's in there, of course, and it's
perfect.
The whole focus is clearly the first one, living in, you know, operating in the here and now. Now, every one of us, of course, you too, Betty, I know you and myself, we absolutely have to fight, if that's a fair word to use, this slipping off into fantasy. But when a person really, really focuses on not doing that and returning to the here and now and making plans to change things so that you can live the way you really want to, it really does work. Now, I'm going to, if it's okay, Ramona, I want to ramble a little bit because remember, I'm I'm in all of this traffic. I just have to speak what's coming at me right now in my mind. I don't know if you, Betty, and I think perhaps you were, Ramona, on the call, a month at least ago, when I was sharing with Dave a transition in my life where I wouldn't be commuting anymore from work, where I'd commuted 2 hours in the morning and 3 hours in the evening every day here in L.A. And I had
fabulous, I recall that.
And so now I'm living that. I've taken a vacation, though, before I start the new work from home office kind of things. But there has been so much that has come out of that is really centered around all of these scrolls and the application of them. So let me just forge into that again. Living in the here and now is critical, but being focused on others, and I don't have the jargon, I don't have the advantage of those words in front of me, but the point I think can be made that if you're really, really, really focused on serving others, then abundance comes to you. And we all three know that abundance has really nothing to do with the accumulation of material things, not really. Abundance is something much deeper than that. It's blessing in your life. It's blessing from others to you, but it's not necessarily material. It's a sense of well-being. Abundance really comes to you when you open yourself. Now, Ramona, I know it's safe for me to go here. Certainly with Dave, it always is, and I know it would be with you. We do well when we open ourselves to that power that is higher than us, you know, stronger than us, the all-powerful being, which, of course, you and I know, God. And so when you really, really, really do that, when you open yourself to have things manifested through you that are God-given, God-sent, when you really focus on others, abundance comes to you from God. He hands you these blessings, and then you can absolutely deliver them to others. It's not so much a consciously active thing where you're saying, oh, God gave me this, let me help somebody else with that. No. It's not really like that. But when you really have focused, and it's a daily thing, you really have to start your day, as you and Dave do, in communication with that power, and you're open to all of the possibilities, when you're open to divine instructions, what it really is, then things do flow. And this has been my example. I'm not going to meander on forever here. This has really been manifested in my life over the last 2 months. Now, as Dave said, you know, it takes 200 calls to get to somebody. It finally got to me, indeed it did. So it's snowballing for me, Ramona. There's no stopping. A couple of days ago, before I took this vacation, I was in the new corporate office where, you know, the corporate office that I'll be actually working for from home. And the favor shown me from those executives, from the CEO all the way down, was unreal, unexpected. They rolled out the red carpet for me, and I'm nobody. I am nobody. I guess I'm not supposed to really describe myself that way, but that's how I feel. I really am up from nothing. Why would they roll out, Ramona, a red carpet for me? What they did, and it's so obvious. There's favor where they gave me a bonus check just for having been there. They gave me a favor again with enhanced pay package through midsummer that was unexpected. It came from nowhere. So here's the part that is active and must be done every day. I actively went there knowing that I had to apply some of these principles I really have let settle into my heart. I really have. And so I went there knowing that, you know what, even though technically I am the new kid on the block, it is about me in that sense. I made sure that I actively did not let that be the presentation. When I met the CEO, when I met the owner, and extended their hand to me, of course, and we greeted. I did, Ramona, you're going to laugh at me, I know, this one. I did my very best to be just like the first meeting I ever had with your husband, Dave, where when he met me, he took my hand and he looked at me right in the eyes. He looked right through me is what it was like, but it was warm. It was genuine, and I did my best to do that same thing, and it pays off. It really does. So I actively decided, you know what, this is not about me. It's about them, serving them. I am going to be the very best for them that they've ever seen. You know, that's sort of prideful, but that's my intention. If you're going to serve someone, let's serve them. And so as a result of that attitude, walking in there that way, it really worked. So the 2 days that I spent with them, every single time I turned around, something was, quote, going my way in a most unexpected way. And so I don't know. I'm rambling all over the place. I know that. But it is living in the here and now. There's no question about that. It is absolute joy in the journey, because if you can't hear the joy in my voice, I don't know, I better turn up the volume a little bit. but anyway, that's certainly what's been going on with me. So it is living in the now, and it is joy in the journey, for sure.
Yes, I can hear that in your voice, in your expression. That is amazing, and so well said. John, the thing that is so thrilling to me and to Dave is that you are living these principles, and you are reaping the benefits. And it's like... Mm-hmm. This whole time you were just giving us a testimonial that these things are true, and that if you will apply them, be aware and persistent and effective and realistic and diligent and vigilant and grateful. Mm-hmm. I can definitely hear that gratitude in your voice that these things are what bring you joy and that abundance you're talking about. So, Betty, what's bringing you joy these days?
You know, I excuse me. I have been out really consciously networking in some new areas, and I'm meeting people. Like John was saying, and I'm going. I know with a grateful heart, and the caliber of people that I'm meeting now is definitely different than what I used to be meeting. And I know there's been a change in me as well. That excites me. And I see that this is going to, in turn, my business is going to, I know my business is going to increase because of that. But it does give you a different sense about yourself whenever... studying this, being aware, being grateful, being confident.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because, you know, people want to do business with people that are confident and appear to know what they're doing, and I know that the more I study I know I'm gaining confidence. So that's what I've been doing, and there's been some new groups of networking opportunities that have opened up in the area, and when I'm invited to something, I just go. So to me, that's exciting.
Showing up, that's part of the key too.
Showing up.
Betty,
yes.
That is so awesome. You know, when you were talking about confidence, it kept coming to my mind about you are creating a comfortable zone, a place where people see that confidence in you, which engenders comfort to them that they can trust and see that confidence. That's so key to being a leader. And that is so powerful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Now, is anyone else on this call? I don't want to just focus on John and Betty. If someone else is on the call, we'd love to hear from you.
Hi, Ramona. This is Rob Peters.
Rob, how are you this evening?
I am fabulous. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So would you like to share with us, Rob, what's bringing joy in your journey these days?
Well, I'm learning a new process whereby people change and finding lots of success with it and utilizing it and working with people.
That is wonderful. John and Betty, if you don't know, Rob is, how would you describe what you do, Rob? Psychotherapist?
I help people change.
Okay, help me, Rob. I'm in need. Well, I'm joking.
I find it better to just describe it that way because I do corporate training. And I had a gig this morning with a city fire department and doing the same thing tomorrow on resiliency and also on Thursday. So I'm finding lots of joy doing that, being challenged, and helping folks to connect the dots during these trainings, as well as working with people one-on-one and addressing different issues, pornography and soda addiction and pain and just all kinds of different, problems that we all run into, or not all, but, you know, we run into it one time or another in our lives, and it's just helping people deal with whatever comes up.
That is an incredible occupation, to be able to assist people in taking on their challenges and to feel like there's a way to change. Thank you, Rob,
absolutely,
for sharing.
Well, you know what that's like, Ramona.
I do.
We do it. That's what we do.
I feel like I'm always changing or wanting a change.
Uh-huh.
You know, I wanted to share, you know, sometimes when we think about joy, a lot of times, maybe not particularly us since we're working on this awareness, but I think we may on occasion and also run into people who are feeling like joy is just down the road and will they ever get there? And I want to share with you a quote out of a book that a friend of mine gave me for my birthday a year ago, and it's called The Book of Awakening. It's a daily quote type book, but this one was particularly interesting, especially having to do with joy in the journey. And so think of it in terms of that, where so often we think of that joy being down the road, that I can't feel it right now. And this gentleman, his name is Mark Nepo. This is what he has to say about that. He says, we imagine that so many conditions and prerequisites to finding love, or in other words, joy in this situation, when all that is required is that, like a man stepping from a boat to a dock, we step over the small gap that exists between us. Often there is nothing to prepare for, nothing to set up in advance, just to step over what separates us and to land in what is before us. But giving into our fears, we widen the gap by creating conditions that must be filled before stepping toward another. This is how we invest in the building of credentials and lifestyles and bank accounts that are often distractions from the simple and essential need to be held. In this way, we move up and down and around, but seldom straight into what will give us love or joy. To know love, we must do more than understand. We must land and enter. Before we step, the gap to others seems like a canyon, but stepping anyway, the separations we move through look so much smaller once crossed. Often the thing feared, once crossed, turns out to be an unexpected bridge from which we can see who we were and who we are becoming. So I hope in those moments when you feel like joy is eluding you, that you might step back and realize that a lot of it is just perspective. And if we'll take that step, if we'll manage our time such that we're on mission and purpose, then we'll be able to find that joy no matter what the day is bringing in front of us. Any comments anybody would like to make?
Hi, Ramona. It's Beverly Johnston.
Hi, Beverly. Have you
Hi.
Been with us long?
Just after it started, yes.
Mm. Oh, wonderful. So did you hear John and Betty and Rob?
Yes, that was great. I heard everybody.
Wonderful. We would love to hear from you.
Oh,
tell us a little about the joy in your life right now.
Well, just exactly what you just read. I mean, just the fact of the joy of the journey of all this learning. You know, I could sit there and look at my assessment and go, oh, you know, but I just found it so fascinating to go, oh, really? And I kind of step back and go, you know, okay, where am I now? And yeah, there's still a little bit of that. And when I do something, I kind of go, oh, I get it. And I get how it could be different. So I'm one of those people. It's taken a while as well. But it's, yeah, like I just, like I, there's a few nights I haven't made it, but it's like I committed to be here on Tuesday night for myself, and I'm laughing because I'm going to find the joy in the journey, you know, because I lost it. I really lost it for a while, or not, maybe, yeah, well, it got buried under stuff in my mind and other stuff, so, yeah, it's really hard to pinpoint exactly, but I think just every sort of aspect of my life is in, was it Rob that just said, in change, and that's okay, and it's because I'm really wanting it to change, and like you said, to step over to the other side, and when you said fear, it widens the gap, and I went, ooh, yes, I've seen that, I felt that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so nothing specific,
well, Beverly,
but
you,
just a lot of things.
You brought up a wonderful point, and that is that we do lose it sometimes. And hopefully we can have mechanisms to help us get back on track to finding it, to shifting that attitude. I know Dave would always recommend, you know, having that ritual of reading the scrolls, that that's a great way to get back aware and back on track for finding the joy in the journey. For me, I know when I feel that things are just getting heavy, that I have certain things that bring me joy automatically, one of which is to just go organize something. So if I can go even to a closet or a room or the garage or anywhere and just kind of hands-on, take everything out, put it all back, declutter, for some reason, for me, that brings me right back in alignment with finding joy, getting back in line with my mission and purpose, because it's a physical thing that I'm doing. And that rather than sitting there thinking something over, I am better to get back on track by actually physically going out and doing something. Beverly, do you find that in your life, something you do?
Yeah, because I can get into my mind a lot, so I love the outdoors, so I'm realizing that that's what I kind of dropped was my connection to nature. And a couple of things have been going on lately is, you know, two projects, and I realized one was I was redesigning my patio, and I started pulling out the roots of bushes that were around the patio, and one thing led to another, and I knew they were old and they had to go. But, I mean, I have persistence. I've been told that many times, and I know that. But it was like I'm saying to myself, I think you overextended this power session because I went for 5 days. Nothing else would matter, right? I mean, I took 2 days off to do my taxes, and it was like, nope, got to get this done, and I was out there. And so I sat there and I laughed and I went, well, this was quite a power session. And, you know, but part of me, I loved it because I was outside. But I can also see how the power sessions need to be, or not need to be, would be much better if they were shorter and focused. And then, you know, so that you get 3 or 4 things done and you're working on things. And so then my taxes had to be in by Sunday. And I never slept for 2.5 days because I had to get stuff to my accountant. So when I look back on it, I went, wow, I sure saw a lot of things in me there. So I can sit and laugh at it now because I learned a lot from it. But I could see old habits and old ways of being. But I got a lot of joy. I could see how I get joy in doing the physical outdoor things. And so that's what I'm kind of stepping back and going, what is that fear I build up about the taxes and sitting down doing the paper? And then I turn around and I went, you know what? This is going to give you money back. Why are you not doing it? So, yeah, it's interesting how the mind, old habits. If anybody has any feedback on that, I mean, I'd love to hear.
I'm loving the fact, Beverly, that you are embracing it rather than beating yourself up about it, and you're learning from it. That is just miles ahead. That is so beautiful. Anybody else want to share with Beverly?
Ramona, this is Betty. You know, if anybody's ever had a bad experience in their, I call it former life, most of us have all had something. And what I've learned over the years is I realize I don't have time left to have a bad day. As I told people, I smile a lot, and people say, don't you ever have a bad day? And I said, I had all those in my young life. You know, I got those.
Oh, that's perfect.
I've already had those, and so now they're all good days. And but one thing that I do know is that we're programmed. When you've been in a marriage, and I guess it could be in a partnership or anything. Mine happened to be a marriage, but when you're in a marriage that is less than desirable, you take on some characteristics. You learn, I guess it's called learning to react. And I was reacting to so many things for so many years. One of the things that I've had to learn to do over the years is not to do that. And by being able to spin back and I look at how I used to be and how I am now, and it's a good feeling to not be in that state that I once was. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that maybe are still in a state like that, or just coming out of one, but it's just taking it one day at a time and learning how to be grateful for each day and be as I look back and I think, oh my gosh, it's been a year now, and I could see growth in myself, and then it was 5 years, and then it went on, and so you don't even recognize the person that you once were, and see, that's good.
That is where the joy in the journey truly is magnified.
Yes.
Thank you so much. John, how about you? Anything you want to share with Beverly?
Well, I love what I just heard. One sentence there. I don't even recognize that person. Who was that person anyway? Because the transition has been so thorough in her case, and I love that. I want to use that for my mantra now. Who was that John that used to be? Of course, that's a touch of fantasy there too, because we're not always 100% what we really want to be. But still, it's a good thing to focus on. Who was that person? Because I'm not that person anymore. And when you really immerse yourself in these principles, when you really, really do it, and of course we can do it every, all the time, we slip, we fail, of course we do, we have things that bombard us, we know that, but overall, in general, if we keep these principles in the forefront of our mind, we really will change, and we really can do exactly what she said, look back and say, I don't really like that fellow, I don't like that guy, I kind of like this one, so. That was encouraging to hear that. Yeah, now, I obviously lost the call back there in the mountains there, and I want to step back for just a minute if I could and ask. Rob was in the middle of describing his career path and where he was from. I would love to hear that if you take a moment there, Rob.
Rob, would you share with them?
Well, let's see. I think part of it is, for me, is just learning how we think, how our brains work. And Ramona, you hit it on the head of when you talk about our perspective and having joy in the journey. You know, there's two things that come to mind. The first is about when I pray for something, I pray for, you know, what I think that is that I want, and I like to add in for something better.
Ah.
And knowing that God has got something better for it. If I don't get what I'm looking for, what I want, I know that there's something even better down the road than what I want.
I like that attitude.
Well, you got to tie in well with what you were talking about, Ramona, about it's your perspective. If you have the perspective that I happen to believe that we're here to learn, you know, and that it isn't what happens out there to me. It matters what I do with it. And if I believe that the universe is a friendly place, that Heavenly Father has the best interest in heart and will set up experiences for me to learn what I need to learn. And, you know, when I pray for something, that's what I want or better. And that's the perspective I find to be real helpful. And when I did this workshop today on resiliency, you know, we talk about resiliency skills, and there's authors that write books on this. And one of them is about perspective. You know, having that perspective. And if we have that eternal perspective, looking at stuff through that eternal lens of, you know, it's not just, you know, that dash between when we were born and when we died that goes on our grave. It's, you know, the eternities, and it's forever. And if we've got that eternal perspective, then what I'm going through right now may suck, but pardon the language, it's only for a short time. And if I endure it well, I know good things are in store for me. And part of it is just believing that and having faith that that's going to happen for me. So I appreciate that opportunity to kind of echo what you were saying, Ramona, about just perspective. And having that, I find real helpful. Does that answer what you're talking there?
Oh, that enriched the conversation immensely, Rob. Thank you. I know Dave has shared this. Oh, go ahead, John.
Go ahead. Oh, I just want to add this, since Rob started this Sunday sermon, let me add a paragraph to it. You know, prayer, as he certainly knows, and I know you do as well, Ramona, prayer is simply asking and receiving. And this thought is paramount with me. When we do, in prayer, ask for things, we need to open our hands in expectation of receiving them. And, as Rob said, much more than we even ask for. I have a sense that in eternity, as he's described it, in eternity, many of us, if not all of us, may be very, very surprised with what could have been ours. You know, God could actually open the top drawer and show us things that we could have had, but we never asked. And so in a way, that's it's very convicting for me, and it's sort of an addition to your sermon there, Rob. Thanks for that. I appreciate it.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. I know in the past and in the material in your studio, Dave refers to a little book called The Prophet by Gehiel Gibran. And my mother introduced me to that book. Rest her soul. She passed away when she was only 54 years old. And so I treasure this little book. And the chapter where the woman asks, "Speak to us of joy and sorrow," I love what he says. He says, let's see, "Your joy is your sorrow unmasked. And the selfsame well from which your laughter rises was oft-times filled with your tears. And how else can it be? The deeper that sorrow carves into our being, the more joy we can contain. Is not the cup that holds your wine the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven? And is not the lute that soothes your spirit the very wood that was hallowed with knives? When you are joyous, look deep into your heart, and you shall find it is only that which has given you sorrow that is giving you joy." I'm sure as any of us reflect back on trials that we've had or really hard times that have been heart-wrenching, if we look back at those having learned from them and grown and survived them, that is where we can find that feeling of joy and accomplishment, because it makes it so much sweeter. I know all of us have challenges and look forward to challenges coming, for that truly is where we grow. I hope when you face any of your challenges that you will rely on those things that you hold dear and close to your heart, a belief in a higher power, a God who cares about you and loves you, family and friends and coworkers. Hopefully you are in an environment where you have people that you have confidence in and can confide in and can support with your love and their love back to you. I know that's truly where the joy comes from. I had invited our daughter to join us. Catherine, are you on the line?
I am.
There she
is.
Can
you hear me?
Yes. I hear you. Our oldest daughter, Catherine, would you share with us a little bit about yourself and your circumstances right now that are bringing you challenges and joy, and share a little bit what we talked about earlier?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, this has been such a treat. Thanks for inviting me onto the call. I really appreciated all the comments thus far. I currently am a stay-at-home mom. I've got three children, 12, 9, and 6. You might hear them in the background. I'm also a classically trained singer and working that little bit by little bit back into my schedule as my kids get a little bit older. And the joy that I am finding in my journey right now is very much about what, John, what you said when you said not making it about yourself. That has been the key to the joy in my journey presently, is that when I get up in the morning and I turn my will over to Heavenly Father and I say, okay, what do you want me to do? That's when I find that abundance in my life. When I don't do that, I come up way short.
oh, my goodness.
I had a beautiful experience today over at my sister's house, helping her prepare for something huge that she's undertaken. And the highlight of my day today was when my little nephew, who's about 3 or 4, he was going off to his nap right as I came in the door. And he said, well, will somebody read me a story? And he turned and looked at me. Because he was going for his nap. And I said, I'll read you a story. And he took my hand and we went upstairs for him to take his nap. And I had this thought come to my mind of how powerful it is. I'm sure we all know what it feels like to truly be loved and seen by somebody outside of our immediate household and how powerful that is. And in that moment, I realized that I have the opportunity to be that for other people. And in that moment, for my little nephew, to give him the opportunity to feel that. And we went upstairs, and I read the book, and he was so excited. And I said, okay, well, now you take a nap and sleep well. And he turned, and he said, you be here when I wake up? And he said, you remember? I said, of course I will. I'll be here when you wake up. And then you'll come give me a hug, right? And he nodded his head. Absolutely made my day. Highlight of the day. And when he woke up, he spontaneously ran to me and gave me a huge hug. And so here, me trying to give him a gift, he made my entire day.
That is precious. Thank you, Catherine. Earlier, you probably heard Catherine us talking about things that we do to when we have lost the joy that help us get that back. Is there anything in your life that you found that will bring you back, of course, service to other people, but anything specific that you'd like to share?
Singing helps me. My kids have given me the space to do that to help me. I would say that I probably get that organizing from you, Mom. That helps me to throw things away. But I would say that the number one is the service. When I have been completely off the rails, the thing that always gets me back is looking around and saying, okay, who needs something? And taking care of that.
Mm-hmm. Looking beyond yourself, that's powerful.
Yeah. Mhm. Yeah.
And Betty, with what you've shared, I'm sure that's why you're finding success in your networking, is because your focus has shifted to the needs of other people, and finding that need and that connection has brought that joy to your life and grown your business.
That's true. That's true. And I love Catherine's story about her little nephew. That's exciting. I'm just thinking about a little grandson of mine, that same story. It's wonderful.
You know, it seems like, you know, we tend to want to look to something grand to bring joy or to serve other people. But in so many instances, it's just the little thing. It may even just be a word or a smile or just a sincere comment that can make the difference in the joy in someone else's life, which reflects back in your own life. This has been quite an experience for me to conduct this call. I am so appreciative to everyone who has participated. I know when Dave finishes a call and I always ask him, well, how'd that go? How do you feel about it? It's always when all of you have participated that it makes it so rich and just fills him with such joy that he feels like he can focus and serve you at a deeper level. And I know that's true when we extend that service and participation to the world, that is a powerful gift we can give to everyone we come in contact with, is to be so engaged and plugged into the planet that we connect and bring joy to people wherever we turn, whatever we do. Unless anybody else has any other comments, I'm going to close with this powerful quote. So any other comments before I launch into this last little bit on the call?
Nope, I'm good.
Just a comment that you have done wonderfully as an MC here, Ramona. We're proud of you.
Oh, thank you so much,
yay.
John.
Yeah.
I'm sure Dave is going to give me this opportunity again in the future.
Well, you're
Oh, thank you. This quote, hopefully you've all heard this before, and it's just a reminder. It's by Marianne Williamson, and she says, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people will not feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give others permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others."
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all for being on this call, and look forward to having you join us next week. And Dave will be back, and we'll have another incredible conversation about self-esteem and how we can all stay in that observer's chair a little longer and get there faster. And I hope all of you have an incredible week. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ramona.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you. Good night. Okay.